Swedish democracy is based on a single premise, the right to free speech, RFS. This guarantees the inalienable right to say, think, and believe anything whatsoever. It embraces all Swedish citizens, from the crazy neo-Nazi living in the woods to the rock-throwing anarchist, and everyone in between. Every other basic right, such as the formation of government and the right to freedom of organizations, are simply practical extensions of the right to free speech. On this law, democracy stands or falls. All democracy has its limits, and the limits to the RFS are set by the Freedom of the Press Regulation, FP. This defines four restrictions on democracy. It is forbidden to publish child pornography and the depiction of certain violent sexual acts, regardless of how artistic the originator believes the depiction to be. It is forbidden to incite or exhort someone to commit a crime. It is forbidden to defame or slander another person. It is forbidden to engage in the persecution of an ethnic group. Press freedom has also been enshrined by Parliament and is based on the socially and democratically acceptable restrictions of society, that is, the social contract that makes up the framework of a civilized society. The core of the legislation states that no person has the right to harass or humiliate another person. Since RFS and FP are laws, some sort of authority is needed to guarantee the observance of these laws. In Sweden, this function is divided between two institutions. The first is the Office of the Prosecutor General, assigned to prosecute crimes against FP. This did not please Torsten Edklinth. In his view, the Prosecutor General was too lenient with cases concerning what were, in his view, direct crimes against the Swedish Constitution. The Prosecutor General usually replied that the principle of democracy was so important that it was only in an extreme emergency that he should step in and bring a charge. This attitude, however, had come under question more and more in recent years, particularly after Robert Hård, the General Secretary of the Swedish Helsinki Committee, submitted a report which examined the Prosecutor General's lack of initiative over a number of years. The report claimed that it was almost impossible to charge and convict anyone under the law of persecution against an ethnic group. The second institution is the Security Police Division for Constitutional Protection, and Superintendent Edklinth took on this responsibility with the utmost seriousness. He thought it was the most important post a Swedish policeman could hold, and he wouldn't have exchanged his appointment for any other position in the entire Swedish legal system or police force. He was the only policeman in Sweden whose official job description was to function as a political police officer. It was a delicate task requiring great wisdom and judicial restraint, since far too many countries have shown that a political police department can easily transform itself into the principal threat to democracy. The media and the public assumed, for the most part, that the main function of the Constitutional Protection Unit was to keep track of Nazis and militant vegans. These types of groups did attract interest from the Constitutional Protection Unit, but a great many institutions and phenomena also fell under the auspices of the division. If the King, for example, or the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces happened to decide that Parliament should be replaced by a dictatorship, they would very swiftly come under observation by the Constitutional Protection Unit. Or, to give a second example, if a group of police officers decided to stretch the laws so that an individual's constitutionally guaranteed rights were infringed, then it was the Constitutional Protection Unit's duty to react. In such serious instances, the investigation also came under the authority of the Prosecutor General. The problem, of course, was that the Constitutional Protection Unit had only an analytical and investigative function, and no operations arm. That was why generally either the regular police or other divisions within the security police stepped in when neo-Nazis were to be arrested. In Edklinth's opinion, this state of affairs was deeply unsatisfactory. Almost every democratic country maintains an independent constitutional court in some form, with a mandate to see to it that authorities do not ride roughshod over the democratic process. In Sweden, the task is that of the Prosecutor General, or the Parliamentary Ombudsman, who, however, can only pursue recommendations forwarded to them by other departments. If Sweden had a constitutional court, then Salander's lawyer could instantly charge the Swedish government with a violation of her constitutional rights. The court could then order all the documents on the table and summon anyone it pleased, including the Prime Minister, to testify until the matter was resolved. but in the current situation, the most her lawyer could do was file a report with a parliamentary ombudsman who didn't have the authority to walk into the security police and start demanding documents and other evidence. Over the years, Edclinth had been an impassioned advocate of the establishment of a constitutional court. He could then more easily act upon the information he had been given by Armansky. But as things stood, Edclinth lacked the legal authority to initiate a preliminary investigation. He took a pinch of snuff. If Armansky's information was correct, security police officers in senior positions had looked the other way when a series of savage assaults were committed against a Swedish woman. Then her daughter was locked up in a mental hospital on the basis of a fabricated diagnosis. Finally, they had given carte blanche to a former Soviet intelligence officer to commit crimes involving weapons, narcotics, and sex trafficking. Edclinth grimaced. He did not even want to begin to estimate how many counts of illegal activity must have taken place, not to mention the burglary at Blomqvist's apartment, the attack on Salander's lawyer, which Edclinth could not bring himself to accept was part of the same pattern, and possible involvement in the murder of Zalachenko. It was a mess, and Edclinth didn't feel the slightest desire to get mixed up in it. Unfortunately, he had become involved from the moment Armansky invited him to dinner. How now to handle the situation? Technically, the answer was simple. If Armansky's account was true, Lisbeth Salander had at the very least been deprived of the opportunity to exercise her constitutionally protected rights and liberties. From a constitutional standpoint, this was the first can of worms. Decision-making political bodies had been induced to make certain decisions. This, too, touched on the core of the responsibility delegated to the Constitutional Protection Unit. Edclinth, a policeman, had knowledge of a crime, and thus he had the obligation to submit a report to a prosecutor. In real life, the answer was not so simple. It was, to put it mildly, complicated.